Welcome to the Jackie and Stacy Show, and I'm Stacy's son, Clark, and here to tell you about it. There are two women wrestling with things of this broken and beautiful life. Each week, they will tackle a topic in a transparent, sometimes distracted, but always fun way that hopefully encourages and challenges you. They will break down each topic by looking at it through four lenses: ourselves, God, our people, and our community. They will then give you a task to go forth with. Vaya con Dios.
Hey, welcome to the Jackie and Stacy Show. I'm Jackie.
And I'm Stacy.
And I'm not sure we could be more excited about what's about to happen. Right?
Yes.
Stacy, what's about to... Well, let me start here.
Yes. What do you hear that's different?
It's definitely, hopefully, sounds different to you. But we're in our series on agency. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about agency through the lens of ourselves, our faith, our close relationships, and our community. And now we're at our fifth episode of the month where we talk with someone that we think is amazing. We interview someone. And I couldn't be more thrilled about this, but... Here is Stacy now to introduce you to someone very special to me. This is Mike Light, but Stacy's going to tell you about Mike.
Drum roll.
Do you have a drum roll?
We have a drum roll. Hold on. Drum roll for the drum roll.
There you go. Oh.
Yeah. Oh, okay, Cherry.
Oh, that's good.
Gosh, that was incredible.
That was incredible.
Just like our interviewee, Mr. Michael Light. Yes. Mike, thank you for joining us today.
Yes, welcome.
Hello. It's my pleasure, honor.
Yeah.
Spontaneous.
It is spontaneous. Yes, it is. Yes. How do I know Mike? I don't even know. I think his wife, Robin, cut my hair, but I'm not sure if I knew you before that or... You know, in this small town that we live in, we all end up meeting each other in various ways
yes.
and lots multiple connections. Different connections. And so Mike is an incredible figure in our community. He's outspoken and he's proud of our country and he's proud of this area. And you were born in Tahoe, right?
No, actually, I was born right here at Memorial Hospital.
Oh. And so was I.
Yeah,
well, so maybe that's where we met. Maybe that's where we met. So right here in our small town of Salinas, California, our medium town. And I know Mike through his family connections, really. His wife, Robin, and the many things that they do in our community. They are very generous and kind and caring.
Big-hearted
and give... of their time, and they gather resources in our community.
Yeah.
Robin does lots of things where she gathers people. So, someone's in need here, and she gathers gift baskets. And
talk about a power couple, man.
Yes. I mean, kindness and love is what I think about in that combination. And, you know, you guys together have six children. Robin just gave birth to their sixth son.
So incredible.
In fact, so tell me everyone's names. Start at the top. Your son, Cody.
We have Cody, 27. We have Lauren, 12.
Boop, boop.
Matthew, 6. Jimmy, 4. Mickey, Michael Truxton, is 2.5. And the last one, Lincoln Paul, is a month and a week. So, so we got Cody, James, Lauren, Michael, Matthew, Anthony, James, Rockwell, Truxton.
That's impressive.
And Lincoln Paul.
That's impressive.
Very strong names.
Those are good names.
I love it. And just an incredible force. I mean, I come from a big family of six kids, too. It's pretty fun to later in life. Right now, it's not fun. You know, like when they're little, they're just fighting and stuff. Well, but they also play together. I mean, there's pros and cons to just about everything.
It's really cute. It is it's an endeavor.
It sure is.
That's a good word.
It's an endeavor. It's... you know, and not to say that my kids have more energy than other kids, but they pretty much do.
They're
way off the wall.
Yeah.
How many parents of five boys would just up and go to Disneyland?
They just
and then 1 month old.
Yeah.
It's like, you just do it. You just do the things. But tell us more about Mike before we start talking, because we're going
to
dive in.
Okay, we are going to dive in. So Mike also, you know, you work. You're going to have to, because you have all these kids to take care of. So you work. What's interesting about you is the wide breadth of experience that you have in different areas of work. So right now, we are celebrating your almost 1 year anniversary of owning your own logistics company.
Congratulations.
Like trucking logistics and shipping and I don't understand these things, but thank God you do.
The 18-wheelers going back and forth across the country, carrying food, feeding the country.
Exactly. And you've been in this work for about 7 years. Before that, you were in banking. Before that, you've done millions of things, and your family had a local agricultural chemical company for many, many, many years. Did you work in that business too, or?
Very, very, very brief stint there. I think, when we come from an area like this, it's really interwoven with the agriculture, right? And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think your dad was a pilot.
Yes.
And he flew my dad a lot. So our parents go back.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
You know, when my dad was Ocean Mist days. And
that's incredible.
Or Botany Farms, rather. Yeah. But this community is just woven. And it has been for generations, and that's the beauty of this community. I think the first time I remember meeting you, Stacy, was at the 9M store.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
when Marie,
see,
because
I've done a bunch of weird things too. Yeah,
Blaine's dad was in fertilizer pesticide, right? And so him and my, just like I said, everything's interwoven, right? My dad was in business with them too, when he was privately farming, and then. You know, we have the NH3 service for, 80 years or so in our community back to 1941 here, 39 in Santa Maria. So, just and then, tennis tournaments at Spreckles on the 4th of July. Mm-hmm. And, hey, Jim, your wife's about to have a baby. You should probably go to the hospital. Right, so
that
he had to drop the racket.
My dad with his six kids. Yeah.
Well, your dad—he might have been playing tennis with your dad and Don Nucci or something. I don't know. Oh, but anyways, that's born on the 4th of July, almost 50 years ago.
That's right.
Almost 50. It'll be 50
this
year.
Oh, this year? You get your 50th birthday. Yeah.
Oh, you guys are going to do something big for sure.
Oh, that's going to be amazing.
It's going to be combined with the Saturday night rodeo party. The entire town is invited.
Oh, my gosh.
Money Band will be there. It'll be...
last year. That was amazing. And I did not grow up in Salinas, so this is all new to me in the last 20 years. And I have such an incredible respect and love for the community that we live in. It's so special. I mean, it really is unique, and I'm grateful for it. I love hearing about all the connections. I don't have any of those connections, so it's fun for me.
Well, you really do now. Well, every time I walk around and I say, oh, yeah, and people are, oh, you do a podcast? I go, yeah, with my friend. Oh, I know Jackie.
Right? I'm making various connections.
You are making that, so your kids are going to say, tell these stories that Mike and I are telling.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what, it's pretty special about you, Jackie, right? This is not an easy community to just walk into and be able to connect with people. That's very... It's a very sensitive ladder rung thing that you see out. It kind of disgusts me a little bit because it's kind of a little bit of a superficial kind of mentality sometimes out there. But there's also some just absolutely amazing people. It's when you do kind of entwine and you grow up here and, and part of the giving, right? And part, how blessed I feel to be here. I'm in transportation, and I have trucks now, and this is an endeavor I started a year ago and going to continue to grow into amazing things and kind of try to revolutionize a bit of the way it happens to be the best we can be for drivers that are working so hard every day, day in and day out. People have no idea what these drivers do to get their food to their stores and back and forth and so many things there. And the background of – whether I was a private banker in the past, opening restaurants, being a server, loving that restaurant trade, being a realtor. I was a well driller for a number of years, learning all the things I didn't want to do.
That's a great way to put that.
Here's what I want to know, because we're sitting, if you guys are listening, you can't see where we're sitting in this incredible podcast room that Mike has that he's generously letting us use. We just kind of inserted ourselves. We're like, we'll sit here and let's record. And he's like, okay. And it's decorated amazingly, your office. So were you a decorator before too?
Was that one of the jobs?
I'm secure with my masculinity.
I know you are.
Honestly, we walked in and I thought.
I'm blown away.
I'm going to describe what I see here.
Yes, do it.
I see exposed brick alongside like this painted.
Cool paneling.
Black
like really
paneling.
Cool. Yep.
And like a, what how would you describe these antique chairs and fixtures, and then this beautiful leather chair, and then one with fringe that Mike is sitting in, a pink fringe chair, and yeah, with so leopard good. Print on the side.
It's so cool. And it's not gorgeous. Dead yet. It's not dead
and
yet.
And it's gorgeous. Yeah. Like the raw wood and the doors, this building, so cool. This building itself is gorgeous, and then he has decorated it.
Well,
I mean,
let's tie this in
so beautifully
to our topic, because our topic is agency. And so, like, one of the things we were talking about before we started recording is, like, just do it. Just do the thing. And, Mike, this year you had a baby. Not just a baby, but baby number 6. You opened 2 businesses in the last year, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you got a puppy. Is this what I'm hearing? So when it comes to agency, which we are going to define as your very own power, your ability to affect the future, talk to us about how you see agency in your own life. What does agency mean for you?
Well, you know, like, I'm going to be 50 here. For me, you know, and it really comes down to going all the way back to mama, you know. Mm-hmm. When I reflect on my life, you know, I was raised to question authority.
Okay.
Right. The people that say what you have control over, what you have control over. And what, you know, my mom taught me was that I had control over everything.
Okay.
So, you know, can I go stop a war in Gaza or Ukraine or something? No. But what I can do is I can make a difference here. So I try to, you know, over time I've evolved, and I really don't pay attention to, say, international, federal, even statewide type of mentality issue. I focus on community, and I found out a few years ago that one voice makes a difference.
Nice.
And so if I'm in a local level and I have a strong voice with a foundation, even if it's an uncomfortable topic, if you're brave enough to get out there and you have that passion to make that difference, you will. And I have.
What drives that desire you have to make a difference? Like, why not just go home and watch Netflix and chill? why do you think, you personally, Mike Leip, why do you care? Why do you want to make a difference in your community?
Jesus.
Nice.
Yeah, and to put that into perspective, a lot of people have a lot of different thoughts behind what they think their Jesus is or what. And something that Stacy actually said that really struck me at the very start is love and kindness. Mm. My Jesus is love and kindness. It's not a person. It's an energy. And I believe that energy comes through this universe, and it identifies who has a heart and who doesn't, and it channels itself through you. So I look at myself as like a tuning fork, where that energy can come right in through me and utilize the God-given gifts that I was given and what I was placed here to do. And that is to be an orator, and that is to be a steward of our people.
Okay.
And that passion is it's eternal to me.
Nice.
So that's a little bit.
I think it's possible. I don't know. I don't want to exaggerate, but you might be the most passionate person I've ever met. In terms of when you believe in something, you're behind it 100%. Mm-hmm. Has that always been true? Have you always been that way from the...
You know, it's funny. I think so. I realized when I was speaking at a school... And up on the wall in a school that I went to my, you know, younger years, on the wall it said, "Don't be a bully."
Okay.
And I reflected on that. I had harsh words, but I felt like I was being bullied and the parents were being bullied by the people that are saying, "Don't be a bully." And I looked and I thought to myself, I remember when I was like back in like the 4th grade, I'd got moved to Sacramento. And, you know, breaking into anywhere, whether it's here or anywhere else, it's not easy.
Right.
The kids have their relationships set. And so, you know, I was basically cast as, you know, a bit of a dork. And I was a bigger kid. And so I hang out with the littler kids and we play. And the bigger kids would come to pick on the little kids. Mm. And they were bullies. And I was the bully buster. And I'd get into the principal's office, and he'd call my mom, quadriplegic at home, and, "Penny, I'm going to have to send Mike home today, but I want you to know he's not in trouble." See, he was out here, and some big kids were picking on kids, and he just made sure that they were okay.
Wow.
I got to send him home for the day, but he's welcome to come back to school, and he's a good kid.
Wow.
You know, and, you know, so I think back, I just always kind of, I've never been okay with wrong.
You have a strong sense of justice.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Now, you're the youngest brother, too.
I'm the baby, yeah.
You're the baby.
Of how many?
Four. My sister's the oldest. She's 10 years older.
Okay.
Then I have a brother that's 56 and one that's 54. And
so how do you think that formed who you are? Do you think there's an element of that, being the youngest, or no?
Well, I think to a certain degree I had it. Like, you know, it's funny because usually when you've had it harder, you understand and you want to make it easier for your children.
Yep, you empathize.
But... you know, with me, I had it easier. I think sometimes I might be harder on my kids.
Interesting.
You know, I was the baby. I come from a family that was somewhat affluent. We had local business, but our family was a little different. We gave a lot more back to our people that worked for us than we kept for ourselves.
Wow.
Didn't like accumulate massive wealth or anything. We just took care of everybody and put a lot of kids through school, college, and whatnot.
Wow.
You know, we had a little bit tragedy in my life at the age of 7. You know, my parents kind of had split up, but my mom and I got in a real bad car accident and killed 6 people, and she was a quadriplegic the rest of her life. And so we kind of got taken away from this area to Lake Tahoe. That's where I ended up going through school, where, you know, I took care of my mother for 19 years.
Wow, I had no idea.
And so some of those struggles and, you know, some people call it tragedy. It's stuff that I cherish. I would never change, right?
Wow.
Abuse is, when I was a child, parents don't see or know is happening. I've seen it all. I've been there and been that person too.
Wow.
So when you go through abuse and then a struggle and, you know, your power getting turned off in the middle of winter with no wood, in Lake Tahoe, with a bag of pancake mix in the cupboard, you know, it's, you know, was I poor? No. But were we broke? Absolutely. And so with that, you know, I reflect back on these things that you look at as normal as a kid. They're not normal, and they were difficult and trying times that I would never trade, because it's what fuels this passion,
yeah,
and love and kindness, and sometimes Boom, I come at people, right? Boom, and I'm there. But it's right here, and I do that because of love. It's a tough love situation. Sometimes it's hard for others to handle, I guess, in the world that we're in. But if I didn't say something, it means I don't care. Anyway.
And I think I connect with you so much in this way, Mike, is having experiences where I think, why isn't anyone saying anything or doing anything? Right. I like we were saying, your experience of going into the school and you're witnessing people bullying a little kid, and you're like, why are they doing this? And you feel like, if I don't do anything, who's going to? Right. So you stepped in and you did something about it. And even the principal was able to commend you and say, great job. And then I look at that and I think of, we were joking before we started recording about just some like local politics stuff, or we specifically keep going back to potholes. Like, why can't the potholes be fixed, right? Like, we look at it and we go, gosh, like, we've overcome a lot of stuff. Mike, you've overcome, you've been through these things. And then you go, how come we can't just fill the pothole? Like, come on, just give me a bag of ready mix and I'll do it, right? Give me some water and give me, well, I'll get out there, right? And so it's like, we can't understand why things aren't getting taken care of, or why no one else is doing the thing that we think that just needs to be done. So let's just do it. Let's just get it done.
Yeah, it comes back to agency, right? Can we make a difference? You know, can we have dialogue that can synergize or catalyze something that'll promote a change? And for me, I go and I. When I go and speak somewhere, whether it's a city council or it's a school board or supervisors or anything, I typically have something I want to, you know, to talk about, and I'll usually maybe read a little Bible, and then I'll meditate, because what I've learned is that I know in my mind, I know the information, and I go into these places. I don't have anything written, no script, and feel the room out and kind of feel where the people are and maybe listen to some people and get up there and speak freely. Usually don't know what I say until after. I have to go back and listen. It allows the love and kindness, my Jesus, to come out and control that conversation rather than me. And go in there, and it typically, you know, sometimes it might be flat or whatever it might be, but most of the time it typically has a profound impact of some way. Some people might not see it, but I see it because I get the feedback privately.
I love that transition to the faith lens, because you've mentioned it a few times, but have you always had that strong faith?
I didn't think I did.
Oh, okay. When did you realize you did? How did that unfold?
When I was in rehab.
Oh, wow. Tell us about that, if you're willing.
Yeah. I'd had my son and had split up from his mother, and it was a trying time for me, because then you get back, you know, you circle back to agency. What do you have control over?
Right.
Well, you don't have control over judges. Mm. You know, so then all of a sudden, your agency has come to an end.
Correct.
I had, you know, become depressed and whatnot. And I never was really much of a drinker. And I, you know, my mother passed away. I think I was 28. And I had the first drink at home. I never had a drink at home before. Okay. And so I started on a path of alcoholism at that point. When I didn't have my son, I was so depressed that I just
drank.
Yeah. And went down that road. And just before my 30th birthday, I'd, you know, made a bunch of poor choices, got 3 DUIs in 6 months, and decided I needed to go to a place. Or, you know, I mean, it was either that or go to jail, one of the two. So I was like, oh. Try this out. It was a Salvation Army.
Okay.
An amazing organization. There's not even a close second place when it comes to rehabilitating the displaced population, drug addicts, alcoholics. It's what they do.
I'm not sure I knew that.
That's their entire operation is completely facilitated by drug addicts and alcoholics.
That's incredible.
I didn't know that either.
Holy cow. Okay.
They're the most amazing organization. If you look at the people that do good deeds, work like Red Cross, not even close to the Salvation Army. They're amazing. They're truly an amazing group.
And maybe it sounds like maybe changed your whole life, the trajectory of your life.
Completely. Mm-hmm. They're going to change the trajectory of Salinas as well.
Wow.
Through me and others. We're going to, I you know, when it comes to passion, I'm passionate about homelessness. I'm going to solve it. I got the solution. Anyways, needless to say, I went to this place, and it's a Christian-based program, you know, and I had, I didn't, you know, think I believed in God.
Okay.
I raised Catholic, and I thought, you know, God, what is God, you know, all this stuff. And I ended up in there one night. I ended up in the chapel by myself and had a bit of a revelation for myself and a feeling. A feeling I hadn't felt before like that. And then I realized this time that I didn't believe in God. Any time, like, I was heartbroken, it was like, why God?
You were still calling out to God. Yeah, we were still doing that. Yeah.
And I was like, well, I always believed in God because I kept crying to him. Like, why? And I realized then and there my faith has always been 100%. I just didn't know how to communicate with it.
Wow.
And since I tend to focus on solutions. That's the business I'm in. You know, my agency is solving problems. A lot of people like to be in a problem. I like to be in a solution.
Amen to that. Yeah,
talk about your problems all you want, but this is, you got A, B, or C, and let's cut it down to A or B. Which do you want? Yeah. I usually give A or B on solutions. Yeah. We can do this. We can do this. Yeah. That's what I'm capable of. Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
That's agency.
That's
a cool agency. Story.
Okay, so let's move on to your close relationships. So I don't know who you consider your closest relationships. Probably Robin is one, whom we both adore. And maybe friends, other family members. How does agency show up in those relationships?
Well, obviously Robin's everything to me. Mm-hmm. She makes me a better man every day.
Oh.
In the depths of our struggles, you know, which everyone has. Yeah. And, you know, we've gone through, you know, a number of babies now where it was like, we're done. I can't do this anymore. Oh, my God, I'm pregnant. Oh, I love you so much. I call them the kids are like marriage savers.
Yeah.
That's funny because sometimes that's opposite.
It's not always true.
Oh, so our babies are so damn cute.
They are. They're cute.
Henri, but and then coming, you know, with Lincoln, it wasn't quite that way. It was, you know, he's just the peacemaker. All the kids love Lauren, like every kid, like, get out of my only child life, please, please. And now he's in love with this baby. Yeah. All of them love this baby. Yeah. So, you know, relationship, you know, there's, you know, whether it's my wife, whether it's my father-in-law, mother-in-law, my children, you have to put something, what I've found, and it's a revelation I've had recently, is you have to put something in. You have to put something in to get something out. And I've been a bulldozer a lot of my life through those challenges and those struggles that I have had. A mechanism of survival was being a bulldozer and just taking and taking. And I never considered myself a taker. But with that said, you know, like, for instance, I bulldozed my way into a family, and I married someone's daughter. And I never asked. I never, mm-hmm. right? I just took, and it doesn't work that way. It can't, not in a place like this, in this community. And so that's something that I realized, you know, and something that I've, you know, had to start making amends to is that, hey, I realize this now, and I, you know, I apologize for, but we're here and the solutions, right? Now then it gets back agencies. How do we move forward from here? You know, how do I earn your respect on that? I apologize, you know, I'll do the best
incredible.
I can. But also, that's also with your kids, like with Lauren and everything that we've had to go through here of this last year that, you know, I never like just earn Lauren's respect or any of my kids. It's like, no, you're going to respect me. Well, no, it's just relationships don't work that way.
Mm. So good. You're right.
You have to put something in. You have to... Can't be what you want to do all the time. Like, right. Do what he wants to do.
Right. Right. That's so good. Ugh, that's good stuff.
How have you seen your sons respond to that? Because you're teaching them, too. You're teaching them when you give to them, you're teaching them now to give into their relationships together or with others. So how have you seen the fruit of that already?
I think the biggest fruit has been the dynamic between Robin and I. That has allowed her to be stronger in this family unit. It's a lot to have all these kids and to get moving. And then she does so much good works.
She does. Mm-hmm.
Like cutting hair is like a hobby. It's cutting hair costs me money. I've by having some of these revelations of my failures. A foundation, right? My foundational failure to her father and to her mother, and my foundational, relationship with her was cracked and had holes. And it stemmed to what her failures were. I feel that as the husband and as her partner, it was my job to lay the foundation for her to grow and grow this family. And it was my failures that have led to all of our failures. And that understanding between her and I has freed her to realize it's not her. It was always me. And this is something that we've worked on over the last few months under this pregnancy that's really through some mentorship of mine and another man that's got kids too, like me, in business. And that, you know, the whole, I didn't realize the whole cross to, you know, family. Like I just went and married a lady like, hey, I'm here. You know, no. Wow. So, you know, that's something that's been brewing for 17 years.
Wow.
So it's allowed her to, and then the kids, over time, it's hard to see it day in and day out.
Oh, for sure.
I think are growing immensely from this and will continue to have an amazing culture for them to have everything they need to then continue and perpetuate love and kindness. And that's what we're all about.
And even Agency. For them to hear you say, I see something and... I'm almost 50 years old and I want to change it.
That's
the most beautiful thing you can give your kids is that realistic picture of yourself and say, oh, I'm seeing it. I love you. I don't call it. I learned it from a counselor. This four-part apology basically is saying, I did that. I can see how it hurts you. I'm sorry. And here's what I'm going to do moving forward. Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3, 4. And that's what I'm essentially hearing you say right now. But what I want to ask you is, how did you find that mentor? Because, you know, we have men that listen or wives that would like to tell their men about this, or, you know, that listen to our podcast. And that's you being an agency is being able to say, I see it. And then asking for help. Right? There's like the three hardest things to say is, I love you, I need help, and Worcestershire sauce.
That was good, Stace. Well, and just to affirm real quick before you answer that question, you being willing to see areas that you need to change and being humble enough to say that I'm going to make that change is not just changing your one life. This makes me emotional. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But six boys. Mm-hmm. And just imagine the ramifications of that. It's incredible. So good on you. But yes, how did you find a mentor willing to lead you through that process?
And you don't have to say names, of course, or anything like that. But
a Grateful Dead show.
I want to tell you right now that all truth is God's truth, right? It is everywhere.
That's amazing.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it was very much by chance, you know, I was going to a car wash with a buddy of mine that I just met. I just met this, and he's been a friend here over the years. And I was trying to get into the industry here and try to get away from traveling 90 miles each way, managing the private bank. Anyways, we're at a friend's house, and I say, hey, I got to go wash the car. Go wash the car and listening to some music. I'll put some Dead & Company on, mm-hmm. You know, the newer John Mayer, younger hip Grateful Dead. And he's, oh, you like Grateful Dead? I said, yeah, I love the Grateful Dead. He's, oh, me too. I said, you want to go to a concert? I got tickets this weekend.
No way.
And he's all, okay. And he was moving to San Antonio like the next day after the show,
what?
Right? So we end up, yeah. Anyways, we went up, had a crazy night. We ended up getting split up that night, and he met up with some friends of his from Visalia, ironically, where a company I used to work for was located at the last company I worked for, which was odd. Anyway, so we end up catching up at the end of the night and getting to the car and leaving, but we spent the concert completely separate.
Wow.
But he met up with these guys. So then the next concerts that came to Shoreline, we went to and we met up with this group from Visalia, and this guy, he's got a bunch of kids. And then we started enjoying going to the, I like music, and I like the Grateful Dead experience, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we go to these shows, and and we talk about our lives. We talk about our struggles. We cry together as men because, you know, when we're home, we need to be strong for our families. And, you know, that's not a place for us to be weak. So we're weak together. Keeps us stronger.
Yeah.
And again, talk about our struggles or challenges, and we talk about agency and what we can control and what our obligation is to control what we can in a responsible way that God wants us to, you know, that. Yeah. And so that's how it come about. Now it's been bridging for a number of years now.
Wow.
And I, you know, yeah.
Incredible. What I really love about this conversation, I mean, I love a lot of things about it, but I love that Mike keeps bringing it back to agency, and we're
we don't. We're like,
you
tell
are
us
like
more.
The expert podcaster over here, Mike. Like, oh yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Well, we had a topic, and I think
I appreciate that.
But the life is agency.
You're right.
It's all agency.
100%.
And I didn't. You girls just come in today and want to talk about agency, but there's the universe again, yeah, channeling through all of us because, yeah, it channels through each of you. Yeah. Very special, yeah, ladies, right?
Thank you. Thank you. Well, and I mean, moving on to community, because that's our fourth and final lens. And as I think about the three of us, like the three of us, all three of us feel pretty passionately about the idea of community,
oh,
right?
Gosh. Yeah.
All three of us invest a big portion of our energy and our time and our passion and our love into community, whatever that looks like, right? So whether it's our church community, our neighborhood, our friends, the Rodeo, Salinas as a whole, Kairos, which is, you know, my business, your all of it. Like, mm-hmm, when you went through your program, that community was really important to you, right? You don't know what I'm talking about.
Which program?
Your law degree.
Oh, yeah.
You became really close with those people you were doing, yes, it with. You made, yes, that a community, mm-hmm, where some people, mm-hmm, don't do that, right? So anyways, I'm just trying to say the three of us care deeply about community. So, mm-hmm, talk about that a little bit, Mike. I feel like that's a huge piece of who you are.
It's, you know, Robin and I as a couple, as partners, it's our entire motivation.
Yeah.
And I think that being from here for generations and witnessing and having examples of great leaders, mm-hmm, in our community that are community, they are the community, mm-hmm, you know, and I hate to single anyone out, but you know, you look at a guy like Bruce Taylor and all the really good things in business is one thing, you know, he's, you know, obviously a very successful business person. Usually with that comes some shrewd type of behavior, but when it comes to our community, he never leaves it behind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I look towards that, and that's, you know, how I want to be with the touch of Dennis Caprara. you know, yeah, who was another one that never let this community,
yeah,
behind.
I don't know who that is.
But another farmer, rancher, landowner in this area.
Okay.
Yeah,
that was also all about community and the kids. Mm. And he was about pushing back, mm, on these people that think that they're the ones in control about what your agency is.
Got it.
You know, so, you know, obviously Robin's been very involved in the Operation Give Back.
Yep.
And we started doing the deal where we started adopting schools.
Yep.
And children within those schools. And she would, matches them up with her network.
Yeah. It's incredible.
Of people that just know that Robin's doing good stuff and want to support that. Mm-hmm. So,
Can I just piggyback, yeah, on that for a minute? Because if you're listening and you don't know Robin, which is probably not even the case, because probably you do, but I mean, you're not really encompassing the full scope of what she does. We're talking about hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kids who have Christmas because of Robin's efforts to connect them with people in our community who want to give back, right? But that piece is so important because people can sit at home and be like, I want to give back. I don't know how. But for Robin to catalyze that and make it happen, it's incredible. And I know you are a big piece of that too, because I imagine you're with the boys a lot and helping out all of that to make it happen.
Well, it's, you know, well, rack, three run road line trucks ends up delivering it all.
Oh,
but,
exactly. Wow. Yeah, I need all the, wow, behind the scenes.
But it's hundreds of kids, but it's not just those hundreds of kids, it's their families,
yes,
too.
Yes, mm-hmm, yes.
So it's really big.
It's huge.
It's a pretty big deal. And, you know, we end up, you know, and she never says no, right? So people are coming in like the day before Christmas saying, hey, can you got any more help?
Yes.
And the amazing outpouring of support from people. I mean, when you're taking, you know, one example, we were delivering all the way down the night, Christmas Eve.
Oh, my gosh.
Down Chular, Gonzales, Soledad, Greenfield. And, you know, families where moms have died young and they got the kids, you know, and that maybe they're part of the sporting, you know, apparatus. But there was one in particular lady, she had like six kids like us.
Yeah.
No licenses. She's at home all the time. Her husband worked for a property manager, not a bad job, but they got all these kids, you know, and it's not cheap to live in our area.
Right.
And it's hard for people to be able to make it. And we showed up with like $1,000 in food gift cards, all these presents for their kids and, you know, Uber Eats and all these different, you know, and it was probably a couple $1,000 in stuff. And that was the last delivery we were making down there. And the lady just broke down, like, where did you come from? Like,
wow.
We didn't know how we're going to get through another day. And just, and, you know, and Lauren there, you know, like, and he's like, you know, that's what they're seeing is like,
they
don't have it like you have it, son, right?
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
and we're all crying.
Yeah.
We're all bawling.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and, you know, and then I think we had so much. Last year ended up down at Kloster Park, and I had like 10 bins of toys, and so we bought ice cream for all the kids because there was an ice cream guy there, and and there was, you know, probably 100 kids that come out of the apartments around there and come and got presents and bought them ice cream.
And, so cool. And you're helping the guy that owns the ice cream truck too.
Right?
Like,
yeah,
he had
right?
a pretty good night too.
Oh my gosh.
And that's just one thing, right? But it's just you know, so, you know, for us, everything is, you know, really about the kids.
Yeah.
And being able, you know, I want to preserve our kids' innocence as much as possible. Mm-hmm. And it's so hard in today's world with devices and everything else like that. And we have a lot of challenges on our plate.
Yes, we do.
So, you know, I care deeply about homelessness and don't believe that our community should be utilizing humans to balance a budget. I think that we need to solve the problems.
Mm.
Don't create the problems. Don't grow the problem for monetary reasons.
Mm.
It's not humane. Mm. And anyway.
So that's something you're going to be using your agency to work on, it sounds like.
Yeah, I've already begun.
You already have. Fantastic. I can't wait to see what that looks like. I have a passion for that as well. So, well, honestly, I'm just so teary because I love hearing your story. I've known you for a couple of years now. I only met you, 3 years ago, I think, through Lauren, who's one of my very favorite people, your boy. And I'm just grateful to know your family and to know the ways that you put love and joy into the world and kindness. And it's a beautiful thing, and I'm super grateful for it. So thanks for taking time today to be interviewed by us. We totally just, what's the word?
Ambushed.
That's 100% the word. We ambushed you in your own podcast studio, which is incredible. And we're just excited to see what comes next for you, too, for your podcast. We'll be listening.
That's right.
I would not rather be ambushed by two other people in this world.
That's so nice of you to say. Well, you know what? Actually,
go ahead.
You go, Stace.
Okay. We, at the end of every podcast, we have this, we call it the Vaya con Dios. And it's our go with God. It's our kind of a
action
small
item.
Action item that we encourage our listeners to join us in taking part in.
Have an agency around.
That's right. Every single time.
Yep.
Because, okay, we hear all this great stuff, but where do we start?
Now what?
You know, now what? Like, that's constantly my question in life, which is like, okay, that all sounds great, but give me one little thing I can do, like, today, right now. And I have written down some ideas. But I always offer our interviewee first. Do you have one small action step that you would recommend to our listeners? Something that they can do today or this week? Something small, actionable, a Vaya con Dios. No pressure, but think about it immediately.
I would say that you would, you know, if you got a couple of days here, mm-hmm. see what you're passionate about and then go to the public meeting that regards it.
Ooh, attend a public meeting.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. Right, just go look and listen.
Love it. Very good. List off some public meetings that we know about that, you know, I used to serve on the...
library?
Yeah, it was the community libraries and community services. So it was all like parks, recs, libraries for the city of Salinas. Before I went to law school, I stepped down. But, you know, that had to do with like all the parks being, new parks being built, library stuff, recreation services. So that's one.
That's one. That you have the city council meetings usually on Tuesday nights. You got high school board a couple of times a month. You got the different various school districts that are meeting either once or twice a month. You got a hospital board you could go check out. That's an awfully hot issue right now. They're in the first class action lawsuit for mandatory vaccination and firing of employees. So that's a big one. Just got a hung jury. So that's starting over. So that's another very interesting one for people that want to know about what's happening at the hospital.
The planning commission for like streets and building and like master planning, that type of thing?
Yeah, they have those. They're on the City of Salinas website. You've got the law enforcement committee. You've got Parks and Rec, City Works. You have traffic and you have water. You got Monterey. Monterey One Water Agency there is. That one's really hot right now because our city council, the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion group over here removed the only woman on a board of 10 men
from... happens to be our mayor.
Happens to be our mayor. It's a mayor's position and inserted a 24-year-old man or... He represents him. So he identifies a certain way. I think I don't know. I'll keep it discreet here. Okay. And people can go back and look at that if they want. But needless to say, very interesting. So there's a lot of things that are you can, like I said, you can find a chessboard. You can find a you can find all kinds of different organizations that have boards. Planned Parenthood board. You can go check out or. You know, there's all kinds of, depending on whatever your interest is, you can go to public meetings and just about any of them, just an internet search away.
I love it.
That's great.
I love it.
Super interesting.
Thank you. Really, really grateful for your time and just who you guys are in this community. And with that, we will say, vaya con Dios.
Vaya con Dios.
So good. Okay.
All right.
That was amazing.